very good afternoon to you. The time is 12:07, and you're tuned to Midday Matters here on 89.1 FM. I'm Sean Beter, very happy to be with you on this November 5th. And this is the News Review edition of our program, and that means that Bob Kaler is with us once again. Bob, the day before before Election Day here, are you excited as I am?
I wish I were camping in the Rockies for a week, just coming back and seeing what happened.
Well, Bob, we appreciate you being with us as always here. And we do want our listeners to get involved in the conversation today as well. The number to call, 260-452-1185. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters. Joining us in studio for the hour to talk about the Legacy Fund money that is once again in the news. It's Tom Smith from the Fort Wayne City Council. Mr. Smith,
hey,
thank you very much for being here.
Glad to be here.
Also with us in studio, it's John Urbans, Director of Community Development for the City of Fort Wayne. John, thank you very much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Now, I want to kind of go back here because, you know, really over the last 2 years, the city has been on a fact-finding mission, basically, to figure out what to do with this legacy money. But I want to go back even a little bit further, and John, we'll start with you. Tell us about the state of the legacy money right now and where it came from, where it is. Is it just in a suitcase in Citizen Square?
It's not in a suitcase.
Okay.
You know, the legacy funds really date back to 1975 when Mayor Lebomoff first leased the city electric grid to Indiana and Michigan Power. And that started a 30-year lease that I&M paid the city over those years, and a large portion of the dollars went into a community trust that was set in place so that we would have funds when the lease ended if we wanted to get back into the electric business. I&M has been a great partner, and thankfully we were able to work out a lease extension and ultimate sale of the utility to I&M that is going to carry us forward until 2025, at which time they will own the full system. We have about, at this moment, about $49.7 million, $47.9, let me rephrase that, in the existing community trust, the dollars that I&M has paid us as part of that initial trust and what has come in over the new light lease settlement, with about $2.5 million coming in over the next per year over the next 12 years, so about another $28 million to add to that, which brings us up to the roughly $75 million that we will have in the legacy fund.
So the $75 million isn't all currently in the city's possession. That'll fill out as the years go on here.
Correct. We have about not quite 2/3 of the funds right now in hand that are invested through a trust, just as a normal private trust would be invested.
And as I mentioned at the top of the show here, we've known for quite a while that this money was coming the city's way. And the administration, along with many others, really have been involved in fact-finding, opening up to the residents in the city to figure out what to do with that money. Can you update us on that process and where we stand now?
Sure. We started the legacy process back in February of last year, 2011. The mayor appointed a legacy task force of 15 community members, asked them to go out to the public, talk about the funds, talk about how we should utilize those funds. And they spent the majority of last year looking at how we can best utilize the legacy funds to create in the long-term best interest of the community. How can we continue to help build Fort Wayne into a vibrant, prosperous community? They came up with four main areas that we should look at: core economic investments, downtown and riverfront development, youth development and prep sports, and then also about the long-term sustainability of the funds. How do we best utilize the funds into the future? So there were four areas that were developed. The mayor then this year appointed four teams to look at each of those areas and further define what the opportunities are. You know, through the community process with the Legacy Task Force, there were 10 public meetings. There were 76 groups that got together and submitted group proposals to the task force. There were hundreds of online participants and submittals to the point where we got just under 900 ideas on how to utilize Legacy. That group worked through the months evaluating every proposal, every comment that came in, whether it was an email or a faxed-in sheet, every group proposal. The Legacy Task Force evaluated that, developed a scoring matrix that ultimately ended out in the four recommendations that they made.
And Tom Smith, this process obviously hasn't been going on in a vacuum. What has council's role been, if any, in terms of watching this process and having input into this fact-finding process as it's gone along?
Well, mostly we've been quietly observing. Now, there were a few council members on the original Legacy Committee, and some of us were on the champion teams, but that counts for just about half of council members. So we've sort of been sitting back waiting for our chance to get our hands on the money, so to speak. When I say that, I'm joking, though, but because we're going to work together closely with the administration on how the money should be spent. And one of the things that's important about this process is that both the mayor's office and city council, either one of us, can make a proposal. And both of us have to approve each other's proposals. Now, the mayor brought forth a number of proposals last week, and I can see no objection or doubt about these ideas on city council at this point. One of the things I was really liked that happened from the very beginning was that they tied together very closely riverfront development and downtown development. That was a joint committee almost. And because those two things really go together, you're not going to have one without the other today, because citizens for so long have been saying, we want our riverfront developed. And our riverfront is right there on our downtown. So, and that is where we're going to begin, from all I understand, and John may know differently, but I think it's going to be that $500,000 or about there. Isn't that right, John?
Our first proposal coming out of the gate is going to be the riverfront development plan.
Yeah, and I think council is going to be on board with that. I mean, I think that's a very good beginning. It's, out of all this 70-some million dollars, that's a kind of a small beginning, but it's going to be a test to see how well we can do, and I'm really looking forward to that.
At this point, though, you don't see a lot of objection to the river investigation?
No, I do not. Now, as these programs, these projects evolve and come to fruition, the contracts that's going to take to implement these things, the spending of the money for whatever the projects are, those contracts all come before city council. And so there is where we will have more say-so, and looking at these projects and these programs. And so we will have our oversight throughout all this. But when I say oversight, I mean that in the best sense of the word. I'm here, and I think other council members are too, to cooperate with the mayor and the administration on these ideas.
Tom mentioned that it's going to take a cooperative effort, and we're really looking at this as a collaboration between council and the mayor. As Councilman Smith said, it's going to take the approval of both supermajority of council and the mayor to spend dollars out of Legacy. And we're viewing this as a true collaboration. We need council needs the mayor, and how can we move forward together as a community?
260-452-1185 is the number to call if you'd like to make your voice heard on today's Midday Matters. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters. I want to get back to you, John or Bonds. All of this, even the roughly $45 million that are available right now, not all of that is currently on the table. I mean, it sounds like the process, at least from the administration's point of view, is that we're going to do this small step by small step in terms of allocating this money.
This process will be incremental, but at the same time, it needs to be bold. The first step that we're taking, and is before council for discussion again tomorrow night, is the community trust. And the idea that of the $47.9 million that we have in hand right now, we'll take $30 million of that money and put it into a new community trust that will be set aside and continue to grow. So really, in the spirit of the old community trust, we've been talking, we want to be as smart as the mayor and council was back in 1975. We want to, 30 years from now, we want people to look back and say they did the right thing. They used a portion of the dollars to invest in the community and to continue to build, but they also set aside funds that could grow, and the community would have a bank of dollars there when there was an opportunity that came up. We don't know if it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now. There may be a project that we need to tap into that $30 million, and we want to have it sitting there and growing.
Tom Smith.
You know, I there's two big words involved in this whole project. The first word is legacy. I mean, that's a heck of a word. I mean, to establish a legacy is, you know, it's a pretty high order. It puts the bar pretty high. And then as part of this, we're talking about transformational projects and programs. And sometimes that word trips people up. It did me a little bit at first, too, but I've been thinking about it. And, you know, it's as if you were, let's say you lived in Fort Wayne 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, and you haven't been back since. And you come back now and you see something like the Courthouse Green, or you see what happened to IPFW, or even in the short term, you know, Harrison Square. Those are transformational projects. You see them. Most things that transform, you don't see right away. You're just not going to. It's the exception to the rule. But I think the kinds of things that the administration has laid out before us have the potential to be transforming. And I'll just add one other thing. When we get into talking about the riverfront, what I like about putting money into that, doing a study, is that it's going to force a public policy debate on what do we do with our riverfronts, because most of our riverfront is publicly owned land. There's going to be a lot of things that tie together. And I know, in my opinion, that if that riverfront can ever begin to develop, that will be transformational.
Bob Kaler.
So, Tom, do you think that council has a consensus now on this question that was floating around for a while as the budget was being discussed, of whether you use some portion of this to help reduce the tax increases that are going to be necessary to fund city government going forward?
At this point, I would say city council is not in favor of using any of this money to help underwrite the operating costs of government. That's a clear answer. Now, there are a few people who think that it should be used for that. It could go into neighborhood streets or to help, you know, take down the rest of the trees. I wouldn't object to that. But I am going to honor what the mayor and the administration have said, that they want it to be for these transformational projects. That's where we go to first. Now, in some of the questioning that was done at the city council table, Bob, the question came up from time to time, you know, if there's an emergency, could we tap these funds? And the answer to that is yes. Now, what constitutes an emergency, I don't exactly know, and I hope we don't have to face one. It could be a financial emergency. It could be some natural disaster. But, you know, the door isn't totally closed. But I think to say we're going to start to use it in any short-term way, begin whittling away at it, to use that to help operating costs or, you know, fund the police department, things like that, I don't think that's on the table at this point.
260-452-1185 is the number to call if you'd like to make your voice heard during today's Midday Matters. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can send us a tweet. We're at Midday Matters. Stay with us. We'll continue the conversation when we return.
From the time their son was three, John Schwartz, a national correspondent from the New York Times, and his wife, Jean Mixon, suspected their son was gay. Even though they supported him as he faced difficulties in school fitting in, as a teen, he attempted suicide. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with them about their memoir, Oddly Normal. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
American Roots seeks electoral songs and sound bites from both sides of the aisle, including a fiddle-playing senator, a disco-spinning mayor, and a guitar-slinging ambassador from Hungary. From the campaign trail to the voting booth, we pledge to get down to the sound of the democratic process. I'm Nick Spitzer. Join me for American Roots from PRX.
Monday night at 7 on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lutheran Hospital, providing procedures for heart failure patients that keep their treatment in Fort Wayne close to home. Information at lutheranhealth.net.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne in fall 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum at www.indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW.
And you're tuned to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm Sean Beter along with Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. And joining us in studio today, it's John Urbans, Director of Community Development at the City of Fort Wayne, and First District Councilman Tom Smith. Thank you very much to both of you for being with us today. And we're talking about the legacy money and what should be done with it. As you may know, the process is starting in terms of the administration presenting proposals to City Council. And we want to hear from you today. What do you think should be done with that money? Give us a call, 260-452-1185. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's at Midday Matters. Bob Kaler, I rudely cut you off before we went to the break. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things I want to delve into was I remember during the public meetings on the legacy dollars, there was tremendous interest in using it for economic development, and that went in two directions. There was kind of a grassroots money available to go directly to businesses or to small entrepreneurs, and then this other approach is more indirect, improving the climate and the atmosphere and the attractiveness of the city to create a broader, more generally appealing atmosphere for economic development. And my impression has been, from what I've read, that the administration has settled on that latter approach more than microbanks or an emergency fund to help beef up incentives and competition for a particular mm-hmm. employer. Is that accurate?
I'd say that's accurate. You know, the one of the teams that was put together was about economic development, and that team spent as much time talking about downtown and the rivers as the downtown and river team did. And the key there is downtown development has been a major economic development strategy for our community over the past decade, and it needs to continue to be. Companies are interested in being in cities that are vibrant, that have opportunities for the company, but also for their employees. It's about attracting and retaining talent for a number of the high growth industries that we're looking at. So it's about doing what government can do, and that's making the best Fort Wayne we can make. There, you know, there's dollars available. There's TIF financing and other opportunities to look at incentives that companies are looking for. But what we need to do is make Fort Wayne, make downtown the best we can do. And that's important not just for Fort Wayne, but that's important for the region. You know, Fort Wayne and downtown with Parkview Field has become a destination for the region. And we're hearing that as we work with other communities, as we do in economic development, they're just as interested in Fort Wayne developing its downtown, so the region is a good place for companies to locate as we are. It's I said it the other day, it's no longer about Fort Wayne downtown being important to Fort Wayne, it's about downtown being important to the region. So we need to look at how do we continue to invest there, and how do we leverage additional resources. The Capital Improvements Board has recently come out with their strategies, and that is all about economic development. And how can we utilize the CIB funds with the legacy funds so that we're not just providing incentives to companies, but we're providing the incentive of a great community and a community that has things to do.
And Tom Smith, I see you nodding there.
Well, I'm glad you remembered the word leveraging, John. It's so important because we have this money to spend in our community. And the more we can partner with other entities and organizations that can then bring their money to the table and join with our legacy money, you know, you can really, really start to multiply this legacy money. And you get more people involved, you get more stakeholders, and you get more oversight. More people are involved in how that money is spent. And I think anybody who's going to be touching this money is going to be very careful and cautious that it's spent well and wisely.
Let's go off of that point a little bit there, because, you know, obviously this community, the state, are in difficult economic times, continue to be. Is there an appetite for that kind of partnership? And Tom Smith, I'll start with you.
I think so. I mean, it's got to be all about partnerships. Nobody stands alone anymore. The city doesn't. The chamber doesn't, the alliance doesn't. None of these groups stand alone anymore. We all have to work together because the competition is so fierce across the country. And, you know, this money gives us a leg up. I don't know of any other communities that have, you know, some tens of millions of dollars sitting around, so to speak, in that suitcase. Where is that suitcase hidden, John? You haven't told me yet. But anyway, yes, I lost my train of thought here. But anyway, we're going to have to, the more we partner, the more money we're going to bring in. And that builds confidence in the community. And the one thing about this whole process that's been underway for the past 2 years, and I got to give the mayor, a real pat on the back for this. The whole process has been open and transparent, or as open and transparent as possible. And this is building confidence. And all this money is going to be spent in the programs, debated and discussed. It's all going to be there for everyone to see. And that's a very good thing.
John Urbans, I know that this process is still very much in nascent stages in terms of, getting proposals, out into the public view. Has anybody approached the administration, to your knowledge, to say, we're willing to partner on, at least based on these kind of broad ideas of, youth and riverfront development, things like that?
There's a number of entities that are I think, willing to partner with us on all of those efforts. We talk to developers every day, groups every day that are interested in doing the types of things we're interested in. And what we're positioning ourselves to be is be ready to respond to those, that we have the funds when an opportunity comes up, we can bring it to council, we can talk about that. We talked about the rivers earlier. We've spent a lot of time in this community talking about the rivers, but we've never been ready to move forward on the rivers. We haven't, I don't think anybody could really tell you where exactly can you develop on the rivers? Where can't you develop on the rivers? How can you develop? We need to set the stage, and that's what we've done through a number of initiatives, whether it be the Downtown Blueprint and Blueprint Plus, that ultimately led to a number of projects downtown, including Parkview Field and the Harrison Square. So we have to continue to set that stage, and there are people that are interested in investing in our community.
It looks like we have a few callers on the line, so we would like to invite you to join us as well, 260-452-1185, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-471-9264. Let's open up the phones. Looks like we have Paul on the line. Paul, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a comment and a question, and it's about the rivers. We have two dirty rivers that form one big dirty river here in Fort Wayne. And if we do riverside development, and I hate to use this expression, but it's going to be like putting lipstick on a pig. And my question is then, are we going to do anything to try to clean up the rivers? Wouldn't that be a good investment rather than trying, so that we could then build on something that was clean instead of dirty? That's all. That's my comment and my question.
All right. We'll put it to the panel. Paul, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good day. John Urbans, let's start with you. I mean, this sounds like an exploratory process right now. Is this built into the bigger picture?
It definitely is. When you talk about the rivers and their cleanliness, we've had issues in the rivers in our community for a long time, but we are working to clean them up. The combined sewer overflow, the consent decree with EPA, we are working to limit the number of overflows into the river that have been occurring, and that's going to continue to happen. And the rivers, no matter what we do, they're going to look the way they look. We are we have clay soils here, and the sediment that is in our rivers make them look worse than what they are. But people are out using the rivers. You go. I was out there out on the rivers a few weeks ago, and there were kayakers out there from Halls. There were people on pontoon boats. The Lutheran High School has a crew team that was practicing out on the rivers. 99% of the community doesn't know that Concordia High School has a crew team, a rowing team. They're out there using the rivers. The rivers are usable, and we just need to continue to build the education that the rivers are not the albatross that everybody has made them out to be.
Tom Smith.
John stated it very well. You know, the other thing that's exciting about rivers is when you develop them, and let's assume we have some development on our riverfronts downtown, there along the Lawton Park area, the area that overlooks, you know, our downtown skyline. And when you begin to build on the rivers and light it up, what's wonderful about rivers at night is that all water is black at night. You don't know if it's clean or it's dirty. And, you know, the light is reflecting off of it. It's sort of romantic. It's very exciting and enticing. And if you go to most cities, when you talk about riverfront development where they're building, you will find most people are there at night. That water is just mesmerizing. And that's the kind of development I hope to see on our riverfront. A good example of that is the new Martin Luther King Bridge, the way it's lit up. I think it shows exactly what can happen when you do something exciting and light it up at night, whether it's a bridge or stores or shops or restaurants. It will work.
We've got another caller here on the line, and then I think we'll have to take a quick break. Let's go to Jessica on line two. Jessica, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hi, thank you very much. I haven't been in Fort Wayne that long, about 3 years, but it seems that with regard to the transformational projects you spoke of, I certainly have enjoyed Parkview Field and seen others. I know that transformational projects take transformational leaders, and it seems to me in the time that I've been here, and I would address this, I guess, to the councilman, that the trend has been to dismiss the transformational leaders that have been brought in to do just that, what you're talking about, economic development, downtown development, and politicize these positions, or just literally throw it up in the air and say, well, what do we do next? So how does that help us going forward if we really want to transform in a professional and productive way? Thank you.
Well, I'm not sure I understand that criticism that somehow people who have wanted to do things have just sort of been swept under the rug. I don't see that.
I was just referring to specific cases where people... professionals have been come in for specific positions. You've mentioned some of the organizations today that are engaged in these partnerships for downtown development, and they've literally been dismissed or the rug pulled out from under them. And I observe this because I've not seen it quite that way in other places. My question is, you've politicized some positions and made it very localized. Are you going to be looking outward? Are we as a city able, can we look outward for expertise, or is it all very insular as we go forward? I see that as problematic. Thank you, and I'll take the answer off the air.
Well, Jessica, thank you very much for your call. Councilman Smith, go ahead, please.
Well, I don't know that I agree with her assessment of what's happened. You know, people come and go in jobs, and it takes time. It takes sometimes a number of people and a number of plans to make things work. But I always have a preference, and she mentioned something here about when people come in from the outside, we don't tend to listen to them. I don't know if I agree with that, but I will say this. I like it when we can hire people from our own backyard. We're doing that right now, I think, with the Downtown Improvement District. The interim director is, you know, a local guy, Bill Brown. I think that's very, very important. Some of the leadership at the Economic Development Alliance are people from here in Fort Wayne, and we are listening to them. And sometimes it just takes a while for plans to get off the ground. And one of the things that's always been a hindrance, probably to other executive directors and heads of agencies that have come in, we've never had the resources or the money to make a lot of things happen. And sometimes people got tired and they left. They weren't always all fired or let go. So now I think we've got this money, we've got this chance to really adhere and bond together with this money. And I think you're going to see the leadership we have stay in place as much as possible.
You're saying that the fact that this is a larger sum of money that's dedicated to developing the city will take politics, will take more of the politics out of the process?
Yes, I mean, politics, if we're talking politics, there's always internal politics in every organization. This is not government versus the private sector, Republican or Democratic stuff. I guess I'm glad you mentioned that word politics. I really reject that word as well. There's always, dynamics that go on. You can call that politics. But I have never really seen politics as we know in the traditional sense play in this. We all have our opinions. I've had strong opinions about some of the organizations here in Fort Wayne, and I've mentioned them. But it has nothing to do with, my political beliefs.
John or Bonds, we have to go to a break in just a moment, but is that your view as well?
I think we need to continue to think outside the box. We need to continue to be open to what changes can happen to our community. And it's not about politics. It's not, the Republican way or the Democratic way to revitalize downtown, to make Fort Wayne a better place to live. It's about what our community believes in, and that's what I think we need to go back to, is the heart of our community and what our citizens, how they want to see our community grow.
We're talking with Fort Wayne Councilman, City Councilman Tom Smith and John Urbans, Director of Community Development for the City of Fort Wayne. We do need to take a quick break for the news, but we'll continue this discussion of the legacy money when we get back. And we do want to hear your voice today. Give us a call, 260-452-1185. Of course, you can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. It's @middaymatters. Stay with us. The conversation goes on when we get back.
President Barack Obama and Republican nominee Mitt Romney have been visiting many battleground states in their final weeks of campaigning.
Thank you, Virginia.
Hello, Colorado.
Thank you, Iowa.
Hello, Ohio.
On November 6th, the race for the White House comes to an end. I'm Melissa Block. Join us for results and analysis all evening long. Special coverage of Election Night from NPR News.
This Tuesday from 7 to 10 p.m. here on 89.1 FM.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. Supreme Court Justice Stephen David is up for retention this year on Indiana ballots, and no justice has received less than 57% of the vote in the last 40 years. But as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, one Supreme Court analyst says there's an unusual amount of public opposition.
The question of retaining an Indiana Supreme Court justice goes on the ballot 2 years after the justice initially takes the seat, and then every 10 years after that. Justice David's first retention vote is receiving particular attention because of his decision in a controversial case last year.
In 2011, Justice Stephen David ruled that Hoosiers have no right to reasonably resist unlawful entry by police officers into their homes.
That's from a radio ad sponsored by the Indianapolis Tea Party. David's decision in Barnes versus Indiana sparked outrage from several groups and prompted legislative action to clarify state law. The Tea Party ad doesn't specifically oppose David's retention, but emphasizes that the decision stripped Hoosiers of their rights. Indiana University law professor Joel Shum says he's never seen this much public attention on an Indiana Supreme Court decision or retention vote.
I think the legislature spent a lot of time on it last year, changed the statute, and I get the sense that a lot of people that maybe initially weren't happy with the decision have kind of moved on and realized that that's been resolved.
Shum notes that 8 of the last 9 justices up for retention received at least 70% of the vote, and while David might fall below that mark, Shum says his chances of being removed from the bench are slim. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
Authorities have identified a man who police say jumped out of a moving car in Fort Wayne while quarreling with the driver and was struck and killed by another vehicle. The Allen County coroner on Sunday identified the man as 25-year-old Richard John May of Bluffton. Witnesses say the man jumped out of a Jeep and fell into the street where he was struck by another car. Witnesses also told police the man had been arguing with the Jeep's driver before he jumped out.
Meig was pronounced dead at the scene. The Allen County coroner has ruled his death an accident. Police say the driver of the car that hit the man was not injured. The Fort Wayne Comets were on the road this past weekend. WBOI's Doug Gruber has the outcome.
Friday night in Toledo, the K's had only 3 shots on goal in the third period, but 2 of them found the net, and the K's downed the Walleye 4-3. Comets goalie Charlie Effinger raised his record to 3-1 with the Comets' win. Saturday night in Kalamazoo, the K's fell behind 1-0 early, but then scored 5 unanswered goals and held on for a 6-5 win. Newly acquired Thomas Beauregard had the hat trick for the Comets, but the win cost them goalie Marco Cousineau. He left the game with 7 minutes remaining with a pulled groin. Now, if the Comets can't get goalie Kenny Reiter back from Bridgeport of the American Hockey League before Wednesday's game, they'll call up Gary Festa from Dayton of the Federal Hockey League. Wednesday's game in Toledo is scheduled for 10:35 a.m. It's a school appreciation game, and the Comets will try to stretch their winning streak to 4 games. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber.
You're listening to 89.1 FM WBOI Fort Wayne. And now back to Midday Matters with your host, Sean Beter.
It's 12:43, and you're tuned to Midday Matters on 89.1 FM WBOI. I'm Sean Beter, along with Bob Kaler from the Fort Wayne News Sentinel. And on this edition of the program, we're talking about the Legacy Fund and what should be done with that money. And we do want to hear from you today, so do make your voice heard. 260-452-1185. You can always call us toll-free, of course, at 1-800-471-9264. Email Midday Matters at NIPR.FM, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet. And we do have an email question we'll get to in just a moment. But I'd like to reintroduce our guests in the studio, Tom Smith from the Fort Wayne City Council and John Urbanz, the Director of Community Development at the City of Fort Wayne. Bob Kaler, you had a question here.
Well, it wasn't so much a question as an observation or summarizing a good talk that we had during the break about Jessica's question or point that she raised. And I think there is, you know, there is this tendency to maybe be kind of clannish in Fort Wayne sometimes, but that certainly isn't the whole picture, because in the last, say, 5, 6, 8 years, there's been much more of a tendency to look outside the city for some of the best experts to come in and stimulate discussion about what cities can be and what cities ought to be. And two examples that came to my mind were Richard Florida several years ago, one of the creative class guy, came in and talked to probably 400 people. And just last week, Catherine Laughlin from the Knight Foundation, or who has worked for the Knight Foundation, talked about how to improve how to build on some Fort Wayne strengths and what we can do to make it more attractive to young people. So it's, you know, we're working through that as a community and bringing in fresh ideas and new talent while still building on what we have here.
And it looks like we have a caller on the line. Let's open the phones here and go to Pete on line one. Pete, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, I live on the rivers, and it's great down there. And what we almost need to do is, you know, like Memorial Coliseum, they have like a janitor staff. We just need a janitor just to hang out on the rivers, clean them up throughout the day. They can monitor, you know, the people coming in and out of the rivers or someone's dumping stuff. I went down there when they lowered the river level. I found 3 purses. You know, people, there's crimes being committed down there. But, like, a janitor for the river, that's what the Legacy Fund should go towards.
Well,
I would like to be the first in line to be the janitor of the river.
It's his job application.
It's a very public application.
I'm an engineer right now. I'd throw it all away. just to hang out on those rivers all day and clean up after everybody.
Pete, your enthusiasm is getting through here. Let me put it to Tom Smith. Is that your proposal tomorrow for the legacy money?
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
No. Yeah. Well, I. Go Rivers. That's all I can say. You know, we're gonna get there. We're gonna look at that.
Unless, of course, Pete's willing to work at night when the rivers are so beautiful.
That's right.
then you can get your support.
I don't want to go there, Bob.
Pete, your last word there.
Right. I live up in Cedarville. We got the ultimate rope swing. We ski all summer. Now we're gonna have the ultimate hockey rink this winter. So. Go Rivers, man! Let's fill those jobs. We need a janitor out there just to pick up the trash.
Pete, we appreciate your call and your enthusiasm. Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
Have a good day. And John Urbans, this does speak to something in the broader picture here. You know, you're talking about allocating this money to study the rivers, figure out how we can develop it further. There are a lot of extras built into the what's next when you get to the end of that process.
You know, Pete raises an interesting point, and take downtown as an example. One of the things that we hear whenever we bring businesses to town, they want to see our downtown, even if they're not interested in locating downtown, because they want to see if the community cares about their town. And we'll bring people in from all over the country. And one of the first things we hear from people is, you guys have a great little downtown. It's nice. It's clean. It's safe. And I'll tie that to the Downtown Improvement District, the work that they've been doing. They've really focused on the clean and green effort, making sure that downtown is clean. You know, we did a number of projects coming out of the Blueprint Plus to increase the aesthetics of downtown. But you need, with the rivers, we're going to have to make sure that it's a clean environment. We're going to have to make sure that there's programming. The DID is a very good example of a group that's working downtown. It's bringing people downtown on the weekends for events. It's making sure that the cigarette butts are picked up and the alleys are picked up and it's clean and it's green. And that's, so he raises an excellent point that we need to look at.
We have two more callers on the line here. Please stay with us. So we do have an email question that's been waiting in the hopper for quite a while. Dawn says, sports was the only thing the Legacy Committee could come up with for the children of our community. Seriously, what about the arts and music? Dawn says, personally, as a child, I had no interest in sports, and as an adult, I still have no interest, but have always been interested in the arts and music. And she clarifies that she's not talking about physical fitness. John Urbans, let's start with you. Your response to Dawn.
The youth sports piece came up through the process. It was very interesting how it came up, but one of the pieces of it was building on the strengths that we have. And Fort Wayne has a great strength in youth sports with Spies Fieldhouse and the Lutheran Health Sports Network Ice Arena, that we have great opportunities for not just our local youth, but for as an economic development tool, bringing people to our community. We're very well positioned in the Midwest between Chicago, Detroit, Indianapolis, Columbus. And we have a great history of youth sports tournaments here. They saw it as an opportunity to build off of that. Are there other sports that we could take advantage of? But they also talked about arts and culture. And a big, big discussion of arts and culture was about downtown and creating that place, creating how do we continue to build off of the Museum of Art and the Arts United Center and all the work that's been done by Arts United, bringing the ballet back downtown and others, that we need to continue to work on those pieces.
A few callers on the line here, and only about 10 minutes to address them, so we'll keep on moving. Let's go to Fred on line two. Fred, good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Greetings. This Legacy Fund it represents to me an incredible opportunity outside the tax structures. And watching, number one, the size of the city, number two, the collaboration that often goes on in Fort Wayne because of its size and because of its opportunities. The Salvation Army 10 or so years ago proposed a center, which would have been at near the old Lawton Park area. And my suggestion would be to take a look at the capital needs of especially emerging nonprofits who are serving many different new sectors in our community. with the idea that a getting all of the nonprofit organizations in the service community together, and also those affiliated faith groups, to see if we might find a place for a somewhat centralized, and this would be several areas, like the Urban League area over on Hannah Street, downtown area near Northside, where we could look at nonprofit entities that needed capital space for it to be emerging service arenas, but basically to get the nonprofits together to take a look at the common needs that might reduce the pressure on some of our fundraising activities.
Fred, it sounds like what you're talking about is almost, say, an innovation incubator for nonprofits in Fort Wayne.
Exactly. Well, because our community is changing, and when that happens, you have emerging groups that really, really support that. And I think Fort Wayne is a great example of so many areas where collaboration is occurring and has occurred and works really well.
Thanks very much for your call, friend. We'll put it to the panel here.
Sure.
All right. Have a very good day. I cut you out of the off the end of the last question, Councilman Smith. Your response to Fred.
Well, you know, he's got a great observation here. I don't know that that's what I would use legacy funds for. That's a good one. It is a capital project. It isn't operating funds, but I think we got to be careful in funding other organizations. I don't know that that really meets the threshold of being transformational. It's not against them at all. I just don't know that that's the best use for that money. I would go to foundations and other people to find that kind of money to, if you want to say, build a single facility where a lot of entities could locate.
Bob Kaler.
You know, what struck me about Fred's idea is it's good enough that it might not need an infusion of cash to do it, that the right few nonprofits get together, they might be able to see a quick return on sharing some office space and some of the functions that you would in an incubator.
We have about 6 minutes left in the program here, and one more caller on the line at this moment. Well, looks like Bruce has left us, unfortunately. So we'll put the call out once again. Bruce, if you'd like to join us or any of our other listeners like to get on in under the wire, the number is 260-452-1185. Or you can always post on our Facebook wall. That's facebook.com/middaymatters. Or email us. That's middaymatters@nipr.fm. We did have a comment on Twitter. I'll paraphrase here, and the question gets to something we talked about over a previous break here. Has there been any discussion with this legacy money of returning it to residents, to taxpayers, in some way? Has that ever been part of the picture? And Councilman Smith, we'll start with you.
Thank you for that good question. it has been talked about. You know, one of the ways it's some people suggested from the get-go that maybe that money could go in to help pay for the combined sewer overflow project we have. What's that? $250 million to take care of that. But that's something that can be paid for by the ratepayers. You could have given it all back. And it would have been a nice gift. I mean, maybe you could have reduced everybody's electric bill for a year. I don't know. But it wouldn't have been transformational. It would have been consumed very quickly. And it would be gone and used before we even knew it.
John or Bonds, your thoughts on the idea?
As a community, we would have nothing to show for it. It'd be interesting for a week or two, and the money would be gone. And we'd lose this opportunity to really help continue Fort Wayne to grow and keep Fort Wayne prepared to act in the future.
260-452-1185 is the number to call if you'd like to get your voice in under the wire. In the meantime, Bob Kaler.
Another objection I'd heard about that approach was that it's unfair, and that the people who paid, the ratepayers, have been contributing to this fund since 1974. A lot of them aren't around. Some of them have moved out. Then I think that's something that also tilts people toward sort of a community-wide benefit coming from this, rather than people who happen to be residents in 2012 benefiting from all those decades.
We just have a few moments left in the program here. I'd like to ask you both before we go, and John or Bonds, we'll start with you. We've really just kind of gotten into this process of making proposals and counter-proposals. What's next from the city's end, from the administration's end, in terms of continuing this process now?
Well, the next step forward starts tomorrow night at City Council. The community trust ordinance is before City Council for continued discussion, hopefully passage, that will create the vehicle that we use moving forward. It sets aside the $30 million in the long-term fund, and it creates a fund that we can utilize to advance project proposals and individual funding proposals. So that's the first piece. And then I think that from there, it's sitting down with Council President Smith and determining a path forward on how we bring forth the individual project proposals so that we agree on some timing, we agree on some process, and we move them forward.
Tom Smith, I'll give you the last word at the end of the program here on that, but we do have a caller that I'd like to get to on the line here. We've got Willie on line one. Good afternoon. You're on Midday Matters.
Hey, how you doing?
Very well. Go ahead.
I'd just like to mention again the sewer and storm drainage issue relative to the things that have happened recently on the East Coast, and you see how fragile an infrastructure of a city can be, and we've certainly experienced that here in Fort Wayne. It's a golden opportunity to push us further as a community to help prevent a disaster like what has just happened recently and what has happened here before. And if you're talking about things that are transformational, why not continue to face some of these major issues head on? Is my main point.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the call. I'll put that to Tom Smith. Infrastructure, of course, always top of mind, especially in the state of Indiana.
Oh, it is. But we have ongoing sources of money, never enough, but we have ongoing sources of money to take care of infrastructure. And that's where this legacy money is seen as different. You know, it is a one-time pot of money. We can keep it growing, but it really isn't meant for infrastructure. And the last thing I want to say is, and this is when John Urbans was sort of summing up there, I think council tomorrow night will pass the community trust. I expect that. There may be some tweaking of some of the language, but we're all going to go ahead on this. We're going to move forward together.
And we'll be talking about this for a long time to come, I'm sure.
Yes.
Well, we are out of time for this edition of Midday Matters. I'd like to thank Councilman Tom Smith and John Urbans, Director of Community Development for the City of Fort Wayne. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, Sean.
And thank you to Bob Kaler for being here once again as well.
Thanks.
Thanks to our listeners. I know there were a few we couldn't get to. We're sorry we couldn't get you on the air this week. And thanks to everybody for listening. I'm Sean Beter, and this is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studio at 89.1 HD Channel 1. And this is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Thanks very much for listening. Fresh Air's up next. The time is 1 o'clock.